Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th-and-1.
So, anyways, with that, time jerks.
Welcome to 4th-and-1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Little known fact, Nick, we are the official baby name picker podcast for Patrick and Brittany. So what do you have a front runner for what Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Matthews should name the baby they announced that they're going to have this week?
I wouldn't put any false information like that out there because that is not even remotely accurate. And we are not associated with Patrick Mahomes in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, but if you had to pick a name, if it's a boy or if it's a girl, have you put any thought into it?
No, that hasn't been at the top of my list. I'm sorry.
Okay, because I have, and I'm thinking if it's a boy, they should name it Lombardi, and if it's a girl, I really like Todrina.
I see. You just did this for the joke. That's really all this was about. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought maybe you had, you know, put some time into it and thought about what you'd want to name it.
Do I look like a guy that's going to put time into that type of stuff?
I mean, I think you have a better chance of babysitting than Travis Kelce at this point, so.
Yeah, I think that was just a nice little joke that people have taken too far, unfortunately.
All right. Well, personally, I thought my idea was genius. And speaking of geniuses, is it safe to say that in terms of modern NFL coaches, Bill Belichick is considered the greatest defensive coach and Andy Reid is considered the greatest offensive coach, at least as Bill Walsh?
I'd say that you could put them in that realm. I mean, yeah. I think once they're done, we'll be able to kind of look at it a little bit more. I think in terms of Andy, he's got a much, much better coaching tree, and he develops leaders and does a phenomenal job at that. So I think that's kind of where, more than anything else, I think Andy's going to have the leg up on him on his overall legacy to the league like Walsh had as well.
What are you looking for? I mean, with the hoodie going against the face mask this week, you know, I mean, we've seen this matchup, believe it or not, 6 times since Andy Reid got to Kansas City in 2013, and it's a dead split right now, 3-3. And, of course, Reid, among coaches who've coached against Bill Belichick 5 times or more, nobody puts up more points than Andy Reid's teams, over 27 a game. Three of the times they've played here in Kansas City, Reid's teams have put up at least 40. Do you expect another game like that, where Reid has a few things cooked up and they put up a lot more points than you might expect?
Yeah, no, I'm expecting the Chiefs to hang some significant points if they get the opportunity, and I'm very curious to see if they can make that happen on Sunday.
It doesn't seem to me, after watching a little film, like this is a typical Bill Belichick defense. And what I mean by that is they were getting gashed in the run a little bit, they've never had a great pass rush there, but they really had a hard time, especially like if you look at the Raiders game, they had a hard time getting to Carr, and then they really have a hard time finishing when they do get opportunities for a sack and things like that. What do you see from this defense? You know, I mean, Steph Gilmore's had a few rough games where he's got beat deep by DK Metcalf and stuff. Is this defense as good as we are accustomed to seeing with Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
No, I think they're taking a step back. A lot of it has to do with the players that opted out with COVID-19. So, I mean, they lost a significant amount of players that know the scheme really well and can execute it. So their front seven is really slow, and they don't get a lot of pressure, and they have to blitz to be able to get that pressure. Secondary is really good, but there's just no in-between. So this isn't one of the better defenses Belichick's had in his tenure there.
Yeah, and that makes me think that, I mean, look, coming out of the Los Angeles Chargers game, you know, we talked about this last week. Both of us a little uncertain, you know, whether this Chiefs team had its footing under it, you know, without the preseason and with everything that was so unusual. But after the Ravens game, I'm feeling a lot more comfortable and confident that this team is going to be able to click on all cylinders. Do you expect to see them carry that over, even though they have one less day from Monday to Sunday? you know, especially knowing there's actually going to be a few fans in the stands at Arrowhead again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely hoping that they can be able to build off what they did against Baltimore and be able to execute on a little bit more of a consistent basis. But, I mean, coming off a physical game like that with a less one less day of rest, I'm not 100% sure what will or won't happen in that regard. So I'm kind of hoping they can grit through some of it and be able to make some magic happen against Belichick.
If you were an NFL GM and you had a chance to hire any coach in the league, would Belichick or Andy Reid be at the top of your list?
Well, I mean, biasly, I'm going to say Andy Reid because, I mean, he's an offensive-minded coach that could get the best out of any quarterback.
See, and people – I thought offensive linemen, you know, I thought you were more cerebral, but you like sexy touchdowns just as much as anybody else, Nick Jacobs.
I mean, technically offense is cerebral because you have to do that – execute that against a defense and manipulate them like they did Marcus Peters, so.
All right. Hey, I don't know if you're aware – new quarterback in New England this year. I feel like you might have some thoughts on that. So why don't we talk about it on the other side of the screen?
He thought it would be a routine refrigerator fix.
It was making a really loud noise.
Turns out that repair job went horribly wrong.
He charged me another $99 to ruin my refrigerator.
Desperate to get answers, this Lee's Summit woman reached out to the 41i team.
My name is Kat Reed, and I'm an investigative reporter.
You just said that about me.
The common thing she did to find a repairman, the red flags, and the simple steps to avoid it.
I don't want anybody else to go through something like this.
Sunday after football on 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. As promised, we're going to talk a little bit about the Patriots offense and what to expect with them going up against the Chiefs defense. Obviously, when you go from Tom Brady, who was there for two decades and had all the success he did, to Cam Newton, things are going to change. But I was really surprised watching film at just how compact this Patriots offense seems to be. I mean, in an era where teams are spreading it out and using speed to create mismatches all over the field, this is a power running team. This is a throwback team. I saw a lot of I formation, some jumbo sets. Even when they start out in wide formations, they're always motioning guys back, and they're just really tight and compact to the line of scrimmage. I mean, do you think that helps or hurts, you know, in terms of the matchup with the Chiefs defense?
I think it's going to be good practice for the Chiefs defense to go against a physical run game like that, because that's kind of one of the things they have going for them, because that's part of Cam's style, and that's what they like to do with Burkhead and Sony Michel. So, I mean, I mean the Chiefs tackling's gotten steadily better over the past couple weeks, as it's going to, and so I think it's a good challenge for them to be able to go against that and to hopefully kind of be able to build on what they were able to do against the Ravens.
Do you worry at all? When I was watching the game, I started to have visions of the first half of that 2018 AFC Championship game, especially that first quarter when New England basically controlled the ball the entire quarter and really took the air out of the Arrowhead Stadium crowd. When you watched the Patriots on film, did you have that the same flashback to that game?
No, because luckily they weren't playing them, so I didn't see the Chiefs logo on the side. So. For me, I didn't have that flashback to it, but, I mean, I think the Patriots are more one-dimensional now than they have been in years past with Brady. So, I mean, if the Chiefs can – if they can get physical against the Patriots, then I think the Chiefs have a comfortable opportunity to win ahead of them.
Yeah, the thing that really stood out to me, other than just how compact the offense was, because that's just so unusual today was the lack of speed that New England has on offense. J.J. Taylor came in on one set and ran a jet sweep, and I was like, oh, so they do have somebody with some speed on that offense. But, I mean, how much – you know, I think Chiefs fans take for granted you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got Mecole Hardman Jr., you've got Sammy Watkins. Were you struck by the lack of speed the Patriots have on offense like I was?
No, I mean – I think from looking at the tape, I mean, for the most part, it's really kind of tailored for what Cam's ability is in some regards, to where it's more play action pass, and that's kind of what they're going to do with it. And they're going to throw in a little bit of run with it. And I just think Belichick's trying to work with what he has overall. And I mean, the wide receiving corp really wasn't going to be a lead outside of Edelman and maybe N'Keal Harry. So, I mean, it kind of, they're working with what they got, and they've made the most of it so far.
Yeah. I mean, they're 2-1. And really, when you think about it, they were 1 yard away from a win in Seattle and could easily be 3-0 going up against the Chiefs, who of course are 3-0 as well. The Chiefs have faced some running quarterbacks already this year, though. But Cam seems to me like a different beast because, I mean, one, he's the more powerful of the runners. But he seems to be more dangerous on designed plays. Like with Lamar Jackson, you worry about him escaping the pocket, breaking contain, freelancing, and stitching defenders for clown suits with juke moves. You know, reminiscent of Sam Darnold on Thursday night. But Cam Newton, on the other hand, it's more of the designed RPO stuff that I think you have to worry about with him, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have the QB sweeps. They have the quarterback dives for the most part. So those are kind of the moneymakers overall. And then I didn't see the pitch as much as I thought I was going to. But
maybe they're saving that.
Yeah, it's possible. So, those are kind of the two things that if you can kind of treat him like Derrick Henry when he's doing some of the dives and some of the sweeps, and if you take care of that, then I think that will slow some of that down overall, and then you can hopefully be able to attack him in the play action pass and kind of eliminate that overall, and then that offense really kind of loses what it is right now.
Yeah, the other thing is, especially when, Cam scrambles after dropping back and taking a little pressure, he can get a little careless with the ball. He can leave it hanging out there. So I think the Chiefs defensive line, Frank Clark and those guys would be wise to hunt that a little bit, because there might be some opportunities to create a game-changing turnover in those situations. And, of course, one of the guys who's the best at that for the Chiefs has been Chris Jones. He had 2 forced fumbles last week. He's questionable, though, with that groin injury. If he can't go, how big of a blow is that, especially with Colin Saunders already out and, an undrafted, free agent rookie in Tershawn Wharton is the only real backup right now behind Chris Jones.
I'm not going to be upset if he's not in that game. And the reason I say that is because I'd rather him be out a week and come back to be full strength for down the road here versus him playing part of that game or all of that game and then aggravating that groin even more and then being out for an entire month. So, I don't feel like this is a game where they have to have him to win the football game. So, I mean, if they elect to keep him out, I'm not going to be upset about that.
Last week without Bashaud Breeland, but, of course, the Chiefs are also now without L'Jarius Sneed, who was placed on IR with a broken collarbone. They've kind of muddled through here. Is it as simple as they're just waiting for Breeland to come back, or do you have some concern about the cornerback depth as you move forward in this season here?
I would say with the cornerback depth, I mean, you're just going to have to roll with what you got, to use an Andy Reid term. That's just, you're going to go with what you got on the team, because even if you bring a corner in that's not on the practice squad, that's going to take a month, if not more, to get them acclimated and up to speed. So, I mean, you wait on Breeland to come back, and then he shows back up, and then you have him, and you have Ward, and then you have Fenton like you had last year. And, ideally you'd love to have Snead at some point, but, I mean, I think this defense is really revolved around more of their pass rush and safeties to begin with, but have corners that are really good at tackling. So I think that's kind of what's made the scheme work over time.
All right. Any other thoughts on what to expect from this Patriots offense and how they match up with the Chiefs D?
No, I'm good.
Well, I guess that means we're done with this segment. We should move on to the C block, Nick.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. See you on the other side, kids.
Be thought it would be a routine refrigerator fix.
It was making a really loud noise.
Turns out that repair job went horribly wrong.
He charged me another $99 to ruin my refrigerator.
Desperate to get answers, this Lee's Summit woman reached out to the 41i team.
My name is Kat Reed, and I'm an investigative reporter.
You just said that about me.
The common thing she did to find a repairman, the red flags, and the simple steps to avoid it.
I don't want anybody else to go through something like this.
Sunday after football on 41 Action News.
Hey, welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. We are in the C block here as we get you set for the Patriots against coming to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs on Sunday. 3:25 kickoff. Jim Nance and Tony Romo once again. Does that make you happy, Nick Jacobs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to enjoy listening to Romo and Nance. I think they're a good tandem. And then Tracy Wolfson on the sidelines does a good job. So I'm not upset about the broadcast because it doesn't have Dan Fouts in it anymore.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm also – were you excited about Mike Pinnell's return? Because obviously he's a guy – missed the first two games with suspension, came back. And, look, he was a difference maker last year when they added him midseason – to that defense, and I think he was a difference maker in shoring up their run defense again on Monday night at the Ravens compared to what we saw the first 2 weeks. So what did you see from Mike Pinnell when you looked at tape?
No, I mean, he had he brought a physical presence. He's good against the run defense. He held his own against double teams, and I mean, he was able to let the linebackers flow and be able to make whatever tackles they needed to make, which is kind of what his job is. I mean, and then it allows Chris Jones to be disruptive and kind of shoot the gaps from time to time. So, I mean, he was a good rotational piece to have in the game.
Do you feel how much better do you feel about the progress this team showed from week two to week three at, you know, after – because really, they struggled. I mean, and obviously they got thrown some curveballs in Los Angeles when Justin Herbert started. But, I mean, the run defense wasn't great. The offense had its struggles. I mean, are you more convinced now after watching that Ravens game that week two was an aberration and that we should see the real Chiefs continue to stand up after that performance in Baltimore?
Well, I mean, I like the laser focus I saw from the Chiefs on the Monday Night Football game, but I think a little portion of it that we're going to have to – see over time and how it works out is the first 3 weeks I've always said I felt like we're preseason for everybody in the league. So I mean, now I think it's kind of whatever they got from kind of who people expected them to be against the Ravens, and then I'm kind of hoping that this Patriots game they take it up another notch and keep taking it up a notch after that. So that's kind of what I'm personally hoping for.
All right, speaking of taking it up a notch, there's a lot of way too early talk about MVP voting right now, I think. I think a lot of it's because Russell Wilson's off to such a great start and he's never had an MVP. He's never received even a single MVP vote in his career. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, we saw Patrick Mahomes count to four after throwing a touchdown last week. And it's not lost on him that he was ranked fourth behind Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson on the NFL 100. Do you think Mahomes will, I mean, because obviously he's watched the game film of that Seattle-New England game. Do you think he sees that 21-28 5-touchdown performance Russ had against New England and the way that he made a few plays against Steph Gilmore, who's widely considered, you know, the best cornerback in the NFL right now? You think Patrick sees that and there's a little bit of that gamesmanship, that one-upsmanship, that fire in his belly that coming into this week?
I think Patrick's more like Michael Jordan than people realize in some regard, to where, and any great athlete is, they're a competitor whether they say it publicly or not, and they're looking for ways to create an edge and show they're the best. So, I mean, if he gets a chance to be able to shine and show on a big stage like he wants to, then, yeah, I definitely think that he's going to take full advantage of that opportunity.
I still think at the end of the day, collecting wins is the biggest thing for the Chiefs. I mean, obviously the win against the Patriots or against the Ravens is big because it's a division win and a conference win and could factor into the playoff seeding. But look, man, the way New England has started this season, I think that this could be an important game for tiebreakers and playoff seeding as well down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one that you want to be able to stack and have for you, so whenever it comes down time to it, that you get that number one seed. It's more important than ever now. So, I mean, you've played two division winners from last year in the Texans and the Ravens and beaten them, so you want to do it to the Patriots so you get that opportunity and at least give yourself one game distance against everybody that was in the playoffs last year that played at home in that first round, in their first rounds of their games.
Well, you're going to at least have a half-game lead over Pittsburgh and Tennessee, too, since their game got postponed, and they're now going to have to play 13 straight weeks heading into the postseason after, I believe it's up to 11 players for Tennessee with COVID-19 positive tests. Fortunately, Chiefs haven't had to deal with that this year. Knock on wood, obviously don't want anybody to have to deal with that, you know, and don't want the Chiefs to have to deal with that either. You know, I mean, what are your thoughts ultimately on this game? Do the Chiefs prevail? And you know, I always put you on the spot and make you predict the final score there, brother.
Yeah, no, I think the Chiefs are going to come away with a comfortable victory. So we'll see what that score ends up being.
So like 42-10?
I think they come away with a comfortable victory. So we'll see how that ends up working out.
What was it, 41-10 in the game? And what was it, 2014, when the first time everybody started, you know, writing the obituary to the Tom Brady storybook in New England? Was it 41-10?
Something like that. I can't remember.
Can they top that?
I don't know. We'll see.
Nick, you have to take the bait.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, I think the Chiefs are going to win 73-0. I know I was soft last week. I doubted Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Will not happen again this week. 73-0. Book it.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see how it works out.
All right. Hey kids, we will talk to you after the game. Nick, unless you have anything else to add, I think we're going to tie a bow on this one.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Take care, kids.